But next, we're going to be talking to Barry Estes. Barry runs Alabama Hog Control, and he has killed a hog or two. I am not an expert on hog hunting, Barry, so that's why we've got you here. We want to know everything we can do to get rid of some of these wild hogs in our area. So thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
So there's really two methods we can use. We can hunt them or we can trap them. And first part of the show today, I really want to talk about hunting methods that we can use. So tell me, let's talk a little bit about nighttime hunting. There's a lot of buzz around thermal hunting and night vision. So tell me the difference between thermal optics and night vision optics.
Well, there's a big difference. Most people just refer to it all as night vision, but night vision is a scope that amplifies light, be it star or moonlight or whatever, that allows you to see. And you can see the animals there in the fields and stuff like that, but you have a limited distance. You can see them where thermals are, they detect heat. And I mean, I can see pigs with some of my thermals 2,000 yards.
Really?
I mean, some of these large crop fields, peanuts, corn when it's first planted, soybeans, I mean, you can pull into a field and it may be a mile across and you can see everything that's out there.
So when you do your thermal hunts, what type of, are you hunting mostly agricultural fields or what are y'all's hunts like?
Yeah, we do a combination of a lot of agricultural, but we do have some properties that are hunting clubs that have a lot of food plots planted. And we can go around on these hunting clubs and sneak up on these food plots and shoot pigs out in them as well.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I've paid a little bit of attention to thermal optics, and you know, over the years, it was always kind of like, yeah, that must be fun for somebody else. I don't have $9,000 to spend on a thermal scope, and even if I did, I would probably be drawn and quartered. So. You know, what is that market like? I haven't paid much attention to it. I mean, are thermal optics becoming more affordable?
They are. Just 5 years ago, when we bought our first thermals for the business, we were paying between $9,000 and $13,000 per piece.
Right. So you can get me three?
Now you can buy all you need. You can, in quality and price, you can get thermals now for $2,800 to $3,000 that all you need. I mean, you can kill every pig I can kill with those. And in fact, we even have some of those on our guns that our clients use. They're outstanding. So it's sort of like the old theory with computers back in the day. They were huge and expensive, and they got smaller and less expensive and faster.
Right.
And that's what thermals are doing. Now the price has sort of stabilized, but they're continuing to get better each year.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, that's certainly more in reach than $10,000. But, you know, for the folks that's still out of reach, you know, there are some options as deer season comes to an end. Being able to hunt at night with lights. So I know we were talking last night, and you told me that y'all actually will guide bow hunters at night, you know, using lights to hunt hogs. Is that right?
Absolutely.
So do you have to have a permit to do that type of hunt?
Yes, you do have to have a depredation permit from the conservation department to hunt over bait or to hunt at night. Either, okay. I mean, everybody does.
Right.
They have to get a permit to do either of those. Now, the baiting, even if it's during the day, you still have to get a permit. You do have to be permitted to do this, absolutely.
And are there any restrictions as far as, you know, mounting a light on your gun or on your bow? And I know I've seen the lights that they mount them on feeders and that kind of thing. Are there any restrictions as far as that goes?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Once you have a depredation permit, you could use a spotlight or green lights or motion-sensitive lights on the bottom of the feeders or any of those items.
Right. Well, I mean, it seems like there's certainly some options for you no matter what your budget is. But, you know, let's talk a little bit more about the hunting. So, obviously, when we're deer hunting, we're playing the wind and we're trying not to make too much noise. But, you know, when you go out at night specifically, is playing the wind still important? I mean, I know hogs have incredible smell. What about wind and what about noise? How much can you get away with?
Yeah, you can get away with a lot of movement and a lot of noise. Their noses are phenomenal. If you get upwind, you're going to be shooting at pig behinds.
Right.
They're awesome. I mean, they can smell unbelievably. So you have to play the wind. And that's what's difficult on some of these old summer nights where it likes to fluctuate around and change directions. And it's like you're in Colorado on an elk hunt. All of a sudden you feel that wind hit you on the back of the neck and you look up and all the pigs are running.
Right.
It's the same way. They have great noses.
Right. Yeah, I mean, people don't, I know I certainly didn't realize, but pigs are incredibly smart. And a lot of people say even smarter than deer. And so it's definitely something you can't just think that just because it's nighttime you're going to go out there and lay them down, I imagine. Doesn't sound like it anyway.
It's a lot easier to hunt them at night than it is during the day.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the day. So if we don't have the ability to go at night, you know, let's talk about baiting a little bit. When you're trying to bait a hog, is there an art to it? I mean, is there anything you can do more than just, I mean, throw some corn out or put out a feeder?
Yeah, you want to pick the right locations.
Okay.
Obviously, pigs, they can't regulate their own heat, so they have to try to stay cool.
Okay.
They'll actually die in the summertime if you leave them in a trap for several hours in the sun or whatever. So they're not wanting to get out during the middle of the day.
Right.
So if you want to bait them, you want to get a place that's close to where they're hanging out in the afternoons where it's cool and they won't have to travel far so they can come out before dark. But I try to put out, if I'm doing this for day hunters, I'll have spin feeders that'll throw, you know, 3 to 5 pounds an hour before dark because I want them to understand that they're going to have to race and be the first ones there to get the food.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put a regular texting camera or whatever on the location so you can sort of scout and plan and see when they're coming in, what time.
Right.
But you can sort of influence by getting close to where they're staying and not putting a ton of bait out.
What about, you know, doctoring the bait up? I mean, I hear people talk about, well, you're going to need to sour your corn first, or, you know, we're going to mix Kool-Aid with our corn, and a lot of different, you know, seems like maybe wives' tales. Is there anything to any of that?
I mean, it can help. I've soured it. I've put the Lee and Tiffany Crush and everything else in it to try to make it better. The Kool-Aid, waste of beer by pouring it in there so it'll ferment faster.
Right.
But in the long run, I've just gone to strictly just using regular old deer corn, bag corn.
Right.
It doesn't get all over you. It doesn't stink to high heaven, and you just and they eat it. I mean, that's what I use in my traps and when I'm baiting pigs.
Well, what about calling? Is there anything to calling?
There is, but I'm going to make a distinction here. I haven't ever had any luck cold calling, meaning just walking through the woods and hitting grunt calls or distress calls or anything like that. I've tried it, but I've never had any luck. But what I've had a lot of luck with is just getting a night and hail or Primo's hog grunt call. And when you get in a sounder of pigs, if you can kill the big sows that have the little pigs, a lot of times you can just, you know, grunt a real low bassy type call, and those little pigs will come back.
Gotcha.
And, you know, sometimes people fuss at me for killing baby pigs, but the only difference between a baby pig and a grown pig is about 7 months.
Right. They fit on the grill a lot better too. So
yeah, they're my favorite.
Right.
And I assure you the farmer doesn't care how old they are.
Exactly. All right.
They want them all dead.
It's the last weekend of deer season, and the reason why we're talking about hogs today is because a lot of hunters are going to be going through withdrawals after this weekend, and it's still a great time to get out in the woods with this cold weather and get rid of some of these nuisance hogs we've got running around a lot of properties. So we're talking with Barry Estes with Alabama Hog Control, and we talked in the first segment about hog hunting, but now I want to talk about hog trapping. Barry, I saw this video on Facebook of these two guys trying to get a hog out of a box trap, and I won't go into what happened, but we'll just say it did not end well. And so, you know, box traps, hog pens, remote traps. Let's talk about trapping a little bit. I know you do a lot of it. What types of traps do you use?
We use the Jaeger Pro model. It's it has a texting camera on it that's motion sensitive, so when the pigs come in, it starts sending me pictures to my cell phone.
Right.
And it's a big corral trap, about 35 foot in diameter, with an 8 foot wide gate that drops once I send the code to catch. It's very effective. The camera will send you pictures every 2 or 3 minutes, depending on what you set the interval for. And you can catch a lot of pigs quickly. And it's important to catch the whole sounder. And that's one of the fallacies with the old style traps, box traps and smaller pen traps, because you have a sounder of 20 come in and you catch two. Well, that means you educated 18.
Right.
So it's important to wait till they all get in there. And you can catch a lot at one time. I mean, our record is 51. But I had a client just a month or so ago caught 38 the first time he caught on his property.
So the trapping that you do, you're mostly trapping for landowners trying to remove feral hogs. Is that right?
We do that. I mean, we sell the equipment more often. I mean, most clients just want to buy it, operate it, sales.
Right.
So we'll get them all set up with the camera and the equipment and help them get the trap set up and get them started. And then they're just catching pigs.
So when it comes to trapping, and you've caught some pigs, whether it's a box trap or a pen trap or no matter, we talked about pigs being smart. Do we have to move the trap once we've caught some in it?
Actually, you don't. I mean, there's a old hunter's tale that you can't catch in the same place twice, but that's not true. I have a hunting club in Wilcox County, and my wife and I set a trap up one December a couple years ago on our club in a great location, and we literally caught 19 times in that location in a 9 month period.
They're
just tricks of the trade on being able to catch in the same location multiple times like that, but it is very possible to do.
And so, I mean, I guess in a lot of cases, if you're hunting property, you may have pigs in your territory 1 week or 1 month, and then they're gone the next, depending on water levels at the river or something like that. So when you're catching 19 times in 1 year, these are pigs that they weren't there probably that when you caught the first time.
Some were. It's some places pigs are a lot more established than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some places they come and they go. Like I mentioned, the individual that caught 38 a minute ago. Another 10 days later, he caught 15, and he hasn't seen a pig in the last month on his place. So he obviously wasn't inundated with pigs. My hunting club in Wilcox County, we've caught almost 500 pigs off of that property in 3 years.
Ooh.
So obviously it had a large pig population.
Right.
So it just depends on what your population is. When we first set that trap, we were catching sounders. I think the first sounder was 23 and the next one was 16 and then it was 12 and then it was 8 and they just got smaller as we went on, because they were younger pigs, maybe first time sows, and you'd catch a sow and four little pigs or something.
Well, if I'm going to go out and put out a trap, you mentioned, you know, picking the right spot to bait a hog. Is that, does the same rule apply with the trap? I mean, you looking to put a trap in the same place you'd try to bait a hog? What would we want to look for?
Yeah, typically you do. I mean, because of the equipment I'm using with the texting camera, the first thing I always check for is, do I have phone signal in that location so that my camera will actually work?
Right.
I don't want to go spend 3 hours setting up a trap and then it not get signal. But after I make sure I have signal, I want to make sure I'm in an area that's, you know, got bedding area, got water, got food, a good travel corridor, a good location I can get to easily.
Well, that's some great, great tips, Barry. I hate we can't talk about it more. We're running out of time here, but I know folks can head over to Alabama Hog Control, to your website, as alabamahogcontrol.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, folks, check Barry out over there and get out the rest of the month and go kill some pigs. There's too many of them.